choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game, better educated about your money, so you can live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am the owner of Briggs Financial. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 62. The hardest thing to do is nothing at all. Now, the thing is, it's in our human nature to seek out potential problems, threats, things that might harm us, and respond to them. Unfortunately, media plays into that really, really well, both social media and more traditional media as well. And so we have kind of a duality of different headlines from the election and the variety of things involving that, the Democratic nominating process versus, you know, Trump and that rhetoric. And at the same time, you have the ongoing and expanding threat of coronavirus and the potential of a pandemic and all the news and headlines surrounding that. And no surprise, it's had an effect on our markets. The market has pulled back in the last 2 days over 6%, nearly 10% down from a week ago. There's more talk of travel shutdowns, potential outbreaks. And at the end of the day, you know, and so the thing about that is some of that is legitimately people trying to protect their people and make, you know, try to contain what seems to, you know, is a pretty virulent strand of the flu. On the flip side, you also have leaders and you also have parties involved that, whether they need to act or not, they're going to anyway. Maybe out of political pressure, maybe, you know, and I described this in a video earlier today that I put on the Briggs Financial website. I said, this situation, you're not punished for overreacting, but you are potentially punished for underreacting. And so that's going to be kind of the slant of human behavior and activity surrounding this thing. And so to that end, when, you know, the market is looking at this, and the market's driven by human beings, the market's driven by computer programs created by human beings, and human beings have emotions. So it's going to respond to all that. So it makes sense that there's this sort of reaction, and we're kind of wired that way. Our brain is wired that way. The good thing about our brains kind of being wired to, so what happens is when we perceive an immediate threat, basically what our brain does is it shuts down the logical deep thinking, but it's going to take a few minutes part, and we go straight into fight or flight mode, which is good when there's something like an oncoming vehicle coming at you or, you know, some sort of threat, something's about to fall on you, that type of thing. You get out of the way real quick and go, ooh, wow, I'm glad I missed that. Well, that reaction is your brain basically wired to handle that thing. The problem is, we're being, having our brains kind of react to coronavirus and to these things the same way we would react as like a car coming at us, except that coronavirus isn't like a car coming at you this immediate second, nor can you potentially dodge this thing from occurring or that thing. And so to that end, we're therefore, when people go and look at the market and they see the market's down again another 3%, 4%, there's just this idea that, well, you have to do something about it, right? There must be something we can do. Well, the problem with reacting to it is that it costs money. And it costs money in a couple of different forms. If you sit there and okay, you have an investment, and then you go and sell that investment, in many cases, there's, you know, the potential of a taxable event occurring. So you sell whatever position it is, and you end up, if there's a capital gain, you're going to owe taxes, or if there's a short-term gain, you're going to potentially owe taxes. And so while you think you've done something defensive, you actually have added a cost you didn't have before you made the transaction. That's one point. Then what many people do is they'll go ahead and try to buy into a safer asset class. And the problem with doing that is, what types of assets are going to be more costly when a negative situation or a potential crisis occur? Things that are more defensive, things that are safer, are going to carry a heavier premium. So now you're not only selling at a point where the market is down, and so we're selling low, which is kind of the opposite of what you want to do. People, it's not buy high, sell low. It's sell low, buy, you know, it's buy low and sell high. But on top of buying, selling low, you're now buying something that is inflated, where that risk reward isn't as good. Where that risk you're going to be paying for that lack of exposure to that risk that's ongoing at this point. And that has a cost because its potential upside is likely more limited by virtue of the situation that's going on. So then the question comes, well, Stephen, what do I do then? What do I do when I feel this thing at me? I feel like I need to do something when I'm nervous. The answer is probably nothing, or at least nothing with respect to your assets. I'd say go to the gym, go read a book, go enjoy a nice home-cooked meal. So I've got my office here at about 30, 40 feet away from my office is a bar, a wet bar. And so the market does this 800, 900 point thing. I might have a thumb of whiskey. That might happen. But I'm not going to do anything with respect to, boy, we've got to react and sell this thing before it goes down further or any of that. No. Because of the reasons I just mentioned. There's a lot of cost attached to that. That means more losses. And frankly, I mean, you think about the fact that the market as a whole has gone through multiple world wars. It's gone through a variety of different, sensitive periods of time, from different viruses and outbreaks to different political situations, and it keeps right on chugging. So to that end, it flat out just isn't, I believe, as profitable, especially on a long-term basis, to be going and reacting and trying to guess what's going to happen next. I don't think that's constructive, and I would never say I could do that. Let's put it that way. But if you do feel like you need to do something, you're nervous, and you're like, Stephen, I can't not do anything, then I would say this. Maybe this is a point where you take a look at your personal finances and say, maybe this is where you look at your spending, your personal spending a bit, and you find ways to tighten up a little bit more. Or maybe this is a way where you're looking at going, maybe more cash needs to be on our balance sheet a little bit at home. Maybe you thought the emergency fund felt good. But if you're nervous and you're saying, you know what, this emergency fund doesn't feel good enough now, that might inspire you the next couple of months. Hey, maybe we should save a little more cash and have a little more defensively, at least through this period of time. Because the thing about it is, at that point, if you're going, I'm earning money and I'm going to keep a little bit of extra cash on the sidelines, one, you're not causing a taxable event of any sort. And two, when things do calm down, if you're looking and going, you know what, yeah, we got through that, it was fine, maybe this is short-term or short-lived, maybe you're looking at that and going, hey, I've now got a little bit of extra ammunition to do whatever it is that I was going to do, whether that's, making an investment decision or making a repair on the house or whatever it is that money might have been earmarked for that you said, let's hold back a bit. You then go ahead and do that thing, and it's just delayed a little bit. No big deal. And then the final thing I would say on this topic is that if you don't already have a financial plan of some sort. If you're looking at going, or investment plan, you're looking around going, you know, this is happening, and I don't feel like I would not know what to do if bad things were to happen, if I were to lose my job, or if our assets went down, you know, significantly. I don't know if I would have the discipline to not react. These are, you know, these are the things that financial coaching and having a financial advisor can be an enormous benefit. Because for as much as we, you know, we understand a good strategy is important with financial planning, having the discipline, having the behavioral aspect covered of actually being able to carry that plan out in both good times. And it's far easier to, by the way, to carry these plans out when things are going great. It's when you have a 10% pullback in the market, a 20% pullback in the market, etc., the resolve of our convictions is challenged at that point. So to that end, I would say if you're sitting there and you're feeling like you're on shaky ice and you don't feel like you could necessarily, you know, self-regulate in that regard. And some people think they can until they actually are put in these situations and then recognize, oh, I really want to do A, B, and C, and I know they're not good for me, but I really want to do them. Having a coach on the sidelines who isn't as emotionally tied to your situation but can be more objective in helping you reach conclusions can be of enormous benefit. And so to that end, I would open up that invite that if you're thinking about that and going, yeah, coaching might be right for me, or I'd like to learn more about that, I would love to schedule a free consultation with you and talk about what exactly that is and how that works and how that can fit into your lifestyle and your budget. Financial planning is actually a very affordable service to have for you. People ask, well, how much does it cost? About as much as a cell phone bill monthly for most people. So if you're going, you know what, for a cost of a cell phone bill, if I can avoid making mistakes, as well as having some positive cheerleading and coaching and making some better decisions and expert help looking at this, I've done pretty well. You know, that seems like a really good thing. Reach out to me, Steven@BriggsWealth.com. That's STEVEN@BriggsWealth.com. And I'll be happy to set you up with a free consultation. I'd love to talk with you. On that note, I hope that this podcast serves as a good reminder that you want to have a plan that weathers through all seasons, and sometimes those seasons are a bit stormy, like the news has been the last few weeks. It's important when that those storms kind of hit up that you remember that you're in for the long term and to respond accordingly. And by responding accordingly, it means typically not doing a whole lot. If you feel like you need to do something, then that's where maybe building a little bit of extra cash and sitting on it and waiting for whatever storm it is to clarify itself or whatnot to have happen, so that even if things, you know, even if some bad things do happen, that you have the money and are prepared financially to weather that and come out strong on the other side. Again, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you. Please make sure to follow us on Facebook. Find Briggs Financial right on there. Follow our Facebook page, Instagram. You can find the every other episode of Money is Personal on our website, BriggsWealth.com, as well as on iTunes, Google Play, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. I'm Stephen Briggs, the owner of Briggs Financial. Thanks so much for listening. Have a terrific week. Take care. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas, and check out the firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. In It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. Briggs Financial does not give tax, legal, or accounting advice. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your financial situation. Selection of appropriate investment or planning options and or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.